This is News Talk 1290 Today with Andy Udman. The number to call is 519-643-1290.
It doesn't matter who the premier is relative to this issue. Whoever the next premier is, or possibly his successor, because the courts sometimes take their own sweet time, whoever that individual is going to have to face this issue, because I believe the Supreme Court is going to order the province of Ontario to provide full funding to all faith-based schools.
Okay, folks, there it is. Jim Chapman is spelling it out. Do you agree with him that if we don't vote conservative in this election, if we don't elect John Tory, the Supreme Court will come along, they'll decide the issue for us, and they'll decide the terms? And how do you feel about that? Let's start with Jeff. Jeff, go ahead. Your question or comment for Jim Chapman.
Good morning, gentlemen. My question is for Jim. And if the issue is fundamental fairness, then I don't understand why funding would be extended only to faith-based schools and not secular private schools. It seems that if the issue is fairness, then the issue should be availability for anyone to send their kids to schools that matches up with their sort of worldview. And so it doesn't seem to be, to me, to make it sense that it's based on faith and not simply on school choice.
Okay, Jim, you heard the question?
Yes, I did. Well, I think given the situation within which we're working today, which is, and what the battle is today, or the fight is today, is about a faith-based system that is entrenched in the Constitution, and that is the Catholic system. The argument is about whether it is fair to allow that one faith-based system to have exclusive right to public money, and that none of the other faith-based systems should have access. I'm not trying to duck your question, Jeff, but I think it's probably a second-generation question.
Right.
The issue before us is very clearly drawn now to suggest that we should extend it to other forms of education. Really, we're moving into charter schools and issues like that, which are not, nobody in this election is discussing those issues. Perhaps in an upcoming election, they would become an issue, and at which point I think the points you raise in an intellectual sense are absolutely valid to ask that question. Why am I forced to put my child in this secular school when I perhaps would like to have my funding directed to that secular school?
Jeff, did you have a particular school in mind?
Oh, no, I just, you know, there's the Montessori schools, there's the...
Waldorf?
Waldorf, yeah. Right. And even the ones that don't really have their own model, like Nancy Campbell and such, who are just sort of, they don't have a particular educational philosophy, they just have... You know, it's just private and it has some different sort of social structures around it. But, I mean, I just think that if we're framing the issue as fairness, then essentially what we're doing is we're sort of saying, well, because the Catholic school system is funded, then other faith-based school systems are funded, which I understand and sort of is a logical extension. But if we're sort of looking at it from a what is the right thing to do and let's do the fair thing, then I think that you should sort of expand the scope of it a little bit. And if it doesn't, and if people are uncomfortable with where that extends to, then maybe that tells us that we're going down the wrong path.
Jeff, we have to leave it there. We got a lot of callers who are waiting. David, go ahead.
Hi, Jim. Great to hear your voice back on the AM dial.
Thank you, sir.
I'm surprised it's taken this long. My first reaction when they first extended full public funding to the Catholic system was that... I mean, how can you therefore say that you can't extend it to other religions? And I'm surprised it's taken this long to get caught up. I think it was a mistake in the first place, but I guess that horse is out of the barn. I just don't understand why, as you suggested, if you're going to teach certain subjects, if you want to teach creationism, that's fine in the right context, but I just don't quite get why it is just this one particular faith.
Well, I think you hit the nail on the head when you said the horse is out of the barn. It was a deal. It was a political deal struck at the time of the formation of Upper Canada. It was a deal that brought together two communities that were very hostile to one another. We forget that today. People talk about this separate funding being divisive and driving people apart. Well, we've seen exactly the opposite in the Catholic system. Three generations ago, my grandmother's generation, the discrimination against Catholics in this province was palpable. There were lots of jobs Catholics couldn't hold, places Catholics couldn't go. We've totally forgotten that. Why have we forgotten it? Because we've totally eliminated it. We have eliminated it, but at the time this was brought in, at the time this was put into the Constitution, the issue of outright conflict between Protestant and Catholics simmered below the surface constantly. This was a step forward, they felt at the time, and in fact it proved that they were true in normalizing relations between Catholics and non-Catholics, and they created a situation which, in for the last 150 years, we've had virtual, absolute peace between Protestants and Catholics,
David,
on
hope,
any religious issue.
David, I hope that answers your question. Ralph, you're next. Go ahead.
Yeah, I heard the said that if we don't enter into this full funding system, the courts will make us do that. Well, how is that true when Newfoundland and New Brunswick have already opted out of all religious funding? Why wouldn't the courts order us to do that?
Well, the governments in Newfoundland, there's a significant difference there. The governments in Newfoundland and New Brunswick wanted this to happen. They felt they had support from the people of those provinces. A recent poll in Ontario shows that support is just about split, 46-47, in favor of abolishing all religious schools or having or extending full funding. There's not a government I know of, in this country anyway, that's likely to make a major move on something unless, you know, with 46 or 47% of the vote on a fundamental issue like this. Now, I will grant you, we elect governments with 37% of the voters. I'll give you that right out of the chute. But it's been a long time since anyone has come along with an issue and said, we're going to change this because 10, 15, 20, 30% of the people think we should.
Ralph, we have
Ontario, the most recent poll said it's almost evenly split 50-50. So that's not going to happen in this province.
Okay, Paul, you're next. Go ahead.
Andy, this is Paul McKeever. I'm the candidate in London West.
Go ahead.
Party. And I'll tell you, I can't believe I'm hearing Jim use this line again. I told him at the debate yesterday that if he wants to talk about, you know, faith-based funding, you shouldn't be trying to blame this policy on the court.
Well, Paul, I'm going to stop you right there. But I'm going to stop you right there because I have not been campaigning here. I've been simply responding to Andy's questions. If you want to campaign, I'm happy to debate you at any time.
Well, you are.
There's no intellectual dishonesty in saying what I am saying. I've also said very clearly I support this on the basis that it is a fairness issue. It absolutely is a fairness issue. But I don't think any reasonable person, you, sir, are a lawyer and should know better. No reasonable person can suggest that the courts are not going to intervene in this.
You're on a campaign right now. This issue has been exploding in the progressive conservative space. You know it. I know it. Yesterday, John Tory was out there promoting the idea that creationism would be taught in public schools.
Well, that's not true as well.
And now you're sitting
now, there you go again, Paul. If you want to talk facts, let's talk facts. Talk exactly what John said. He was not promoting the teaching of creationism in schools. Read what he actually said, not what the headline is.
Jim, I read what he said, and there's no sugarcoating this. He was trying to pander to the religious extremists. And now it's backfiring on him, and good for him. And I want to know whether he's going to take the same cowardly approach to defending this policy that you have at that debate. Is he going to stand up and say, it's the courts that are forcing us to do this, we have no choice? That's a John Chrétien move. I don't think we need a rewind.
Well, first of all, Paul, let me jump in. Paul, is what Jim Chapman is saying about the Supreme Court hovering on this issue true or false?
I think it's absolutely false. You have to remember that the Supreme Court of Canada is made up of judges, many of whom are Catholic. They see a difference historically between the historic role of Catholicism in Canada and the plea to suddenly spend taxpayer money on a wide range of, who even knows what the range of religious schools is, and would be probably the single most great violation of the separation of church and state ever seen in Ontario.
Well, there's just one more example, ladies and gentlemen, what a Freedom Party can't draw any votes in an election. It's that kind of an attitude towards trying to solve a very real problem and looking for real world solutions instead of pie in the sky dreaming.
Okay, gentlemen, we're going to stop it there. Jim, could you stay with us for a couple of minutes? Obviously, a lot of people want to talk to you on this issue. So we're going to take a short break and get an update from the newsroom, news headlines, and then we'll be back with, and I hope more of the candidates, call and tangle with Jim on this issue. We got to get this issue resolved. What Jim is saying is explosive. It's crucial to this debate. And I hope Dalton McGinney responds before the day is out. We'll be back with Jim Chapman and more of your calls in just a moment right here on News Talk 1290 CJBK.